Lord, we're here on Pentecost Sunday, and we pray, Lord, that this day you would reveal yourself to us, that you would open our minds and open our hearts, that you would speak into our lives in new, powerful ways, and that we would be changed this day in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we open up Matthew chapter 13, please? Matthew chapter 13, and we're only going to work from one verse today, and that's verse 44. So Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Bought that field. Folks, has anyone here ever discovered treasure? Put up your hand if you've ever discovered treasure. Oh dear. Oh, we have had a few people discovered treasure. You know when you watch Cash in the Attic or the Antiques Roadshow, and somebody brings a bit of metal out that's been keeping a door, loo door open for the last 20 years, and they bring it to that guy with a curly moustache, and he chips away at it, and you realise you've got a Ming Dynasty vase worth £40,000 that's just been open on the door in the toilet, or things like that. Hands up if you watch Treasure Island. Or sorry, Red Treasure Island. Probably is a film, is there? We've read Treasure Island. We've watched Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. Johnny Depp. Real nice. Okay. My favourite, Indiana Jones. Anyone watch Indiana Jones? How good is Indiana Jones? Just forget about that last one they made. But, you know, it doesn't matter. There's only three of them and they're amazing. Has anyone watched National Treasure? With somebody pretending to be an actor. I think his name's Nicolas Cage. Awful. Absolutely awful. But folks, there's something about treasure, isn't there? There's something about treasure. It appeals to people in this part of the world because it means you get something for nothing. Isn't that right? There's something about treasure, something exciting about it. Something that gets us going. And you know what Jesus does here is he picks up on this kind of cultural, timeless cultural obsession with treasure. And he applies it to himself. He's the treasure. And he applies it to the things that he wants to do in the lives of his children. Okay, so there's two things there. He applies it to himself. You have to discover Jesus and discover treasure. But he also applies it to what he wants to do in the lives of his children. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. That's the first word I want you to think about. The word treasure. What's treasure like? Treasure is rare. If you discover an iron, or if you discover a cup in a field, it's not treasure, is it? It's rare, it's valuable, it's special. And the things that we discover in Jesus and what he wants to do in our lives, it's special. It's really, really, really special. I was reading a quote, and I don't know how I found it, from a guy called Gypsy Smith. Maybe you have heard that name before. A great preacher from many years ago. And he said, you know, I've never gotten over the wonder of it all. I've never gotten over the wonder of it all. If you've discovered Jesus, it's treasure. It's a very precious and a rare thing. Next thing is, a treasure is a thing that's found. It's not a thing that's earned. If you've earned something, it's your wages. If you find something beautifully valuable, it's treasure. We haven't earned this thing we've got in Jesus. We find it. We're lucky to find it. Blessed to find it. We find it. Thirdly, it's life-changing. You don't find treasure and walk on and say, wasn't that very nice? It's life-changing. And you know, Jesus needs to be life-changing in our lives. He needs to be life-changing. That's what Pentecost is all about. Lives changed. Jesus applies that to himself. He says, the things that I want to do in your life are life-changing. Hands up if you've seen National Treasure. There's a scene right at the end of this film. It's all about treasure hunting. There's a scene where they're walking around this incredible room filled with incredible treasures. And they're holding these lanterns. And they're holding the lantern up to these amazing treasures. And they're saying, oh, the tomb of Tutankhamun. And, you know, they're going around and looking at them all. And they're all in awe. And then Nicolas Cage tries to act. And he takes his lantern and he lights up this little, I don't know what you would call it, like it must have been a little sort of gully of oil or something. And suddenly it catches light and they realise that the wee bit of treasure they've been looking at is just a small part of this incredible room packed with treasures. You know, folks, that is what God wants to show us this morning. He wants to show us that you can't get over the wonder of this because there's always more. There is always more to be discovered. And if you think, okay, I've got Jesus, I've got the religion thing, or whatever is your way of putting it, folks, seriously, there's more. Much more. Just light it up. Will you see the whole room packed full of it? The Bible says every blessing in the heavenly realms has been opened up to us. That's what the promise is. Every blessing. You know, it's treasure, it's rare, it's beautiful. You know what, I guess the past year have just been in two absolute privileges, which has been doing the confirmation class in the chapter room here, and also doing Alpha over in the tech. And folks, you know, in both situations, the teaching about the Holy Spirit was very new to people, and they got excited about it. And even Shanda, the confirmation class, their highlight really would have been experiencing that there's more of God, and that God wants to speak into their lives and wants to bless them. And over in when we did Alpha, we went to Lurgan. Now, I never knew God could bless people in Lurgan. No idea. Absolutely no idea. Okay, but He did. And we had a day. And you know, folks, there's so many people want to whip up an atmosphere. Isn't that right? That's a big thing, okay? We'll play some bass. Neville's not there. We couldn't have it. Okay, we get some atmosphere whipped up. You know, when we went to Lurgan, okay, we went there just to show people that God can even move in Lurgan. And then we went into a room and we taught just very mildly on the Holy Spirit, shared about who He is and what He wants to do in our lives and how we can be filled more with His Holy Spirit. And we had just an amazing day. And I don't want to break anyone's confidence, but we had some evaluation forms. And the things that people wrote about that day, they said, you know, it was the most powerful experience in my life, some people said. One lady says, I was meant to go home to make dinner for my husband. I'm so glad I stayed. Per man. And some people said, you know, I've always felt like I was on the outside looking in, and now I feel like I'm right there in the midst of the family. One girl said, you know, I was so frightened when they were teaching about the Spirit. I didn't know what it was going to mean in my life. But when I was prayed for, I just realized there was nothing to fear. And that God just wanted to bless me. You know, folks, some of these people are new Christians. Some of them are sort of on the fence of, am I a Christian or am I not a Christian, we were praying for. But there were people there who had been Christians for years. And suddenly, just to have somebody praying over them and just saying, come Holy Spirit, more into this person's life, was just such a treasure. Such a treasure for them. You know, it's rare. It's fine. It's not earned. It's life-changing. It really is life-changing. As you know, from Treasure Island and Pirates of the Caribbean and all these things, where there is treasure, there is pirates. Isn't that right? Arr. Correct. There are pirates. And you know, I really do believe there is a pirate in our lives. There's a pirate in these scriptures. And the Bible says that the devil would seek to rob us, to steal and kill and destroy. He would seek to rob us of the things that God has for us. Sometimes we think the devil's only interested in stopping people becoming Christians. But he's mighty strategic when you do become a Christian to hold you back from realizing that there's more. That there's more. That's what he does. He's a liar. It's not what the pirates do. Don't they send you down sort of wild goose chases, and don't they take away the treasure and just leave the box empty, and don't they do all them things? You know, I believe that maybe for many of us, we just believe that God might bless the person on the right-hand side or left-hand side. He might, but that He's not going to bless us. And folks, that is really a lie from an old dirty pirate. It really is. It's a lie. God wants to bless you. You know, I think there's almost a feeling sometimes that there's only one treasure in one field. But your life is a field, and God has put treasure in it. He's actually put treasure in it. I'm going to invite later on people to come up to the front and just receive some prayer, some ministry. And actually, I just believe God's got wee treasures hidden up here. I really do. And that, you know, as the ministry team pray, that God might just reveal things to us and just bless us with more of himself. And I just pray that you wouldn't be victim to an idle pirate that tells you that not. It's not for you. Not for you, because it is. There's a treasure in your life. There's a treasure in your faith. There's more of the Lord Jesus for you to experience. Better push on here, actually. It's an awful long introduction. Okay, that's the first one. Treasure. Second thing is pleasure. Let's go back to that passage. Pleasure. There's pleasure in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. We know that. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had. And he bought that field. In his joy. In his joy. Have we got joy this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Didn't we expect us to say that? That's great. There's joy. You know, that's an authentic sign of the kingdom, folks. If you've got joy in your life. Joy in your life. I love this week. I discovered 1 Peter 1 verse 8. What's a Christian like? Someone with joy unspeakable. Filled with glory. Is that you? Joy unspeakable. Filled with glory. You know, C.S. Lewis. Basically, the guy who wrote Language and Murder, we all know this guy, don't we? He apparently was going up Haddington Hill. He got on a train, and he got on a train as a non-believer. On that train, he was a very rational thinker, and he thought through the truths of the Christian faith, and by the time he got off the train, he decided, very rationally, decided that this stuff was true, and he actually gave his life to the Lord Jesus. But he called his autobiography, Surprised by Joy. You know, he experienced, when the Holy Spirit came in his life, he experienced this joy. And that should be the mark of us as believers. I've been reading a book by a guy called Simon Ponsonby. Sam looks nervous. Yeah, I've been reading a book by a guy called Simon Ponsonby. He says there is a rule of life that he would like everyone to know. Are you ready for that? A rule of life. Are you ready? You'd really need to be ready for this one. There's a rule of life that he wants everyone to know. And the simple rule of life is you never confuse the toothpaste with the hemorrhoid cream. Do you know that? You never do that. You never confuse the toothpaste with the hemorrhoid cream. It's very important. Apparently. Do you know what? Do you ever walk past a Christian and they're doing this? And you just think, did you confuse something this morning when you went to the medicine cupboard? Folks, our lives need to be marked by joy. Honestly. You see those people with the, you know, angry heads, angry at the world. Why would the world want to get involved in that? Come on. The mark of the kingdom is joy unspeakable and filled with glory. You know, actually, some of the treasures up here at the front, some of the treasures will actually be releasing joy in people's lives. We need that. We need that. You know, and happiness is one of those things. You know, you won't always be happy. I don't honestly think Paul would have been happy when he was chained up at a Roman prison waiting his execution. Of course he wasn't happy, but he was joyful. Joy inexpressible and filled with glory. He was joyful. But folks, you know, God wants to release joy and faith into our lives. And that's part of the wee treasures that are hidden up here. But you never want to confuse those two things. You know, you really don't. Matthew 13. Lost it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his pleasure. Treasure, pleasure. He went and he sold all he had and he bought that field. He bought the field. We've got treasure. We've got pleasure. Thirdly and finally, we've got measure. The cost. See, the man, of course, could not buy the treasure because, you know, none of us have enough money to buy this treasure. It's totally priceless. What we have in Jesus, what we have in the Holy Spirit, it's totally priceless. All we can do is possibly even buy the field. We need to make room for this treasure in our lives. Can't buy it. Just can't buy it. You know, in the ancient world, people would have actually, they didn't have banks, didn't have the benefit of the interest rates we enjoy, okay? So what they would have done is they went out in the middle of the night and they would have actually hid their treasure. And you can imagine wandering through a field, maybe trespassing on a field, must have been, and you actually see something there, a treasure. You sneakily hide it and you go and buy the food. You know, there's a thing that we have discovered that's so rare. We can't buy it. All we can do in our lives is make room for it. I think that the image in the Bible of the whole idea of your body being a temple is a very, very, very helpful one. Because, you know, like any temple, like any house, there can be capacity problems. If you want a new sofa, you've got to get rid of one. You know, if you want a new kitchen, you've got to yank one out. You know, there's capacity issues. You know, the other thing about a temple is, you know, you can change it room by room. Sometimes some rooms look really nice and others look a bit grotty. But actually our aim in our Christian lives is to invite the Lord Jesus into every room of our lives. Every room. But in order to call his Spirit in, we need to sometimes push things out. And actually that's what this guy does. He makes room. You know, the Bible always, when there's a lifting up, there's always a putting down. When there's a cleaving, there's always a leaving. Blind Bartimaeus, you know, when he wanted his healing, he had to throw down his cloak, didn't he? James and John, if they wanted to follow Jesus, had to throw down their nets. And again, there's so much of this, isn't there? The rich young ruler, it's always different. You have to throw down. But actually, we need to make room. Can I just suggest that a big thing for many of us it'd be quite a sacrifice to actually walk up here and receive some ministry. Maybe it'd be a very scary thing. But actually, what you would get from that, I believe, is more than the measure, more than the cost. I was reading from 2 Chronicles this week. And do you remember that wee story about the Queen of Sheba coming to visit Solomon? Queen of Sheba coming to visit Solomon. It says, when the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. And Solomon is kind of, I guess, in the Bible, in some of these stories, a kind of a messianic figure, a Jesus kind of figure. And here's what it says. It says, she came giving the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. There had never been such spices as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Do you hear the measure? There had never been spices like this given to King Solomon. This was a whole lot. Spices, that we're not talking about those wee sort of, you know, here's some cinnamon or something, you know, out of Tesco's. These spices were worth a bomb. These were luxurious items. These were the big trading things in biblical times. And she brought spices like even King Solomon had never seen. But I love this in verse 12. It says, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and all she asked for. He gave her more, far more, than she had brought to him. Then she left and returned to her own country. Isn't that incredible? She brought a stack of stuff, but she went away with far more than she brought. Can I just encourage you? There's treasure for you. There's actually treasure for you if you come up and actually receive from God. There's pleasure. I believe God just wants to just open up his joy in our lives. Thirdly, there is a measure. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I'm sure you've heard of him, preacher around about the time of the Second World War, German guy, I think. He said, you cannot bolt Christianity on to an otherwise secular life. And you know, there needs to be a change in our lives, and there needs to be a dropping away, and there needs to be a stepping out for Jesus. Can I just encourage you to take that step to him?